Hi, this is Mike Verdiccio. Welcome to another podcast here on confidenceandjoy.com. Thanks for taking the time to listen. It's Friday morning, April the 16th, 2010. I'm reading in the Gospel of Matthew this morning, and I thought I'd do a podcast for a few minutes about wealth and prosperity. Now, they are not the same thing. In other words, you can be prosperous without being wealthy. In my weekly newsletter called the Pep Letter, some of you received that Pep Letter, I published an article yesterday called, What Does God Think of Rich People? Quite a title. Well, what does God think about rich people? You and I know what many people say about rich people, right? I mean, you've probably heard phrases like I have too, filthy rich, stinking rich, those greedy rich people, attributed to people who are wealthy. And for some people, it seems like they think that being rich is wrong. And yet most people wouldn't mind at all if they added an extra zero or two or three to their bank account balance, would they? There are some people who assume that those who are rich got their wealth dishonestly or never had to work for it. Some people see rich as snobs who look down upon the rest of the world. And maybe some do. In fact, it's rare to find someone who is actually glad that someone else has tremendous wealth. You know, there are a lot of people who think that rich people really don't deserve to be rich. In other words, it's wrong to be rich. I mean, it's just not fair for people to have all that money. And there are some religious people who actually think that being rich is not right in the sight of God. You know, it's interesting in this parable in Matthew 25, it talks about the kingdom of heaven is like a man that travels to a far country, and he gets his servants together, and he gives one 5 talents, he gives another 2 talents, and he gives another one 1 talent. And it says, every man according to his several ability. In other words, he gave them that which their ability could handle. So the guy that gets 5 talents, he went and traded with the same, and it said he made 5 other ones. The guy that got 2, he gained 2 others. But the guy that just got 1, he went and buried it in the earth, and he hid it. And then a long time later, the Lord of those servants, he came, and then he reckoned with him. And the guy that had 5 talents came, and he brought the other 5, and he said, look, here, I turned your 5 into 10. And the man said, hey, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And then the guy that had 2 brought his 2 and said, look, I turned the 2 into 4. And he said, hey, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. And then the guy that had the 1, he came and said, look, I knew that you're a hard guy, and you know, I was just kind of afraid about everything. So I hid your talent, and here it is. Nothing happened to it. Here it is. And the Lord answered him and said, you wicked and slothful servant, you lazy duffer. You know, you could have put my money in the bank and at least got some interest on it. And then he said, take that away from him and give it to the guy that has 10 talents. And I find that interesting because when it's all said and done, when the man came back, there were a total of 15 talents. You know, the 5 to 10, the 2 to 4, and the 1. That's 15, right? And that's easily divisible by 3, isn't it? Well, very easy. You know, it's like some people's point of view. It would have been fair to give each person 5. You know, why should this guy end up with 11 now? But in the parable, the man who was not responsible, who didn't even put it in the bank to get interest, it was taken away from him and given to the man who turned the 5 into 10. Now, that is certainly the opposite of the idea of that we hear sometimes about share the wealth and spread it around. You know, if you keep doing that and doing that, eventually no one will have anything. But what does the Bible say? Let's talk about this wealth and prosperity for a minute. What does the Bible really have to say? Often misquoted, the Bible does not say that money is the root of all evil. Rather, it says it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. That means that you could have a dollar and love it, or you could have $1 million and not love any of it. When you take a minute to stop and think, there are a number of great people mentioned in the Bible who were very rich. I mean, the Bible says Job was the greatest man in the East, and it lists all these things that he had, and then he lost everything. And the Bible says God restored double back to him. That's always just amazed me. I mean, if he had so much wealth and everything, and he was the greatest man in the East and then lost everything, isn't it interesting that God gave him back double of what he had? Well, God did that for Job. In the Bible, Abraham is called the friend of God and the father of all them that believe. And the Bible says that Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. How about David or Solomon? You know, the list goes on and on. How about when Jesus died, it was Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man, the Bible says, who took care of his burial. He had a wonderful heart for God, and he had the means to do what he did. Now, some might say those people that I mentioned were special people with special reasons for having riches, or, you know, that they were the rare exception. There are some who believe that those who are wealthy are just meant to be wealthy. Nothing in the Scriptures even remotely hints that God chooses who's going to be wealthy and who's going to be poor, and then the rest of us are just supposed to exist somewhere in the middle. Again, if that were true, why are there so many promises of help, blessing, and abundance? You might remember a number of years ago, something was really popular. It was called the Prayer of Jabez. There were books and there were calendars and there were all sorts of things. All of those basically derived from one verse in the Bible, 1 Chronicles 4:10. If you ever read that verse, it's a remarkable verse. And who was Jabez? He was just a guy. You know, he wasn't like the ruler of Israel. He wasn't this or that. And if you read that verse, you'll find that Jabez simply asked God to bless him. He asked God to enlarge his coast and to be with him and to keep him from evil. The Bible says God granted Jabez what he requested. You know, God didn't say when Jabez asked this what most people would have said. Hey there, Jabez, getting kind of greedy there, aren't you? Why don't you just be satisfied with what you have? Nope. God gave him what he requested. You know, over the past 10 years or so, a number of preachers have been labeled prosperity preachers. I got an email a month ago where somebody said, what are you, one of those prosperity preachers? You know, there are those who have preached an honest message of God's abundance. And I know there are others who have polluted the message with something short of a circus act. Biblically, prosperity simply means that you are successful at what you're endeavoring to do. I mean, the very first usage of being prosperous has to do with Abraham's servant who went to find a wife for Isaac, and he had a prosperous journey because he was successful at what he did. And only you can define prosperity for yourself. It may involve a lot of money, and it may not. But God plainly states in the Bible that he wishes above all things that we prosper and be in health. Now, wealth can be obtained honestly or dishonestly, ethically or unethically. But far too many people too quickly judge those who are wealthy and successful. I personally know a number of Christians who are millionaires, and they are very loving and very giving people. I think it's a shame that a lot of wonderful, successful Christians are being unfairly judged and condemned by their brothers and sisters in Christ because of the blessings that they've received from God. They work hard, they apply biblical principles, they expect God's blessings, and they receive from Him abundantly, and they're very giving. But I guess sometimes if people don't get something from them, well, then I guess they're stingy because they didn't give me something. So really, what does God think of rich people? Is God displeased with the wealthy? Does God want everyone to be poor? No. Again, God desires above all things for all of His children to prosper and be in health. Prosperity is a blessing from God that's available to all. Well, that's it for this podcast. Have you got a comment? If you do, just simply type it in down below. We'd love to hear what's on your mind. And don't forget, if you're a subscriber to this blog, well, you don't have to bookmark the site. You don't have to come back and see if I posted something new, because every time I do post something, you get it delivered right to you. And it doesn't cost you anything to subscribe, either email or RSS. And if you do subscribe, as my way of saying thanks, I want to give you a free lifetime membership to my site, Enriching Your Life Now. There's a link with some information below. Hey, thanks a lot for listening. Till next time, this is Mike Verdicchio. Have yourself a great weekend.